big boost for an area hard hit by this pandemic. Peel Region opening vaccine registration to everyone 18 and over starting tomorrow.
And for children across this country, a potential game changer. Health Canada approving the Pfizer shot for those 12 and up. Good evening. Parts of Peel have been at the epicenter of the COVID-19 crisis for months.
Sky-high positivity rates mixed with an onslaught of outbreaks. Those in charge say this eligibility expansion couldn't wait any longer. CTV's Sean Lethong is live in Brampton tonight with more. Sean.
Well, Michelle and Nathan, to give you a sense of how hard Peel Region has been hit, they've had around 20% of the cases of COVID-19 in the province, but they only have a little under 10% of the population. But starting tomorrow, they will be the first region to open eligibility for vaccines to every adult.
On a day when essential workers at Brampton's Amazon facility start receiving in-house vaccinations, shots will soon become wide open for residents in Peel.
I am so thrilled to announce that starting tomorrow morning at 8 a.m., all residents 18 years of age and older, regardless of where they live in Mississauga and Peel, will be eligible for the vaccine.
Currently, the majority of Peel Region is already considered a hotspot, with residents 18 plus eligible to book a shot. This announcement simply opens that eligibility to those in non-hotspot postal codes.
This message is simple. If you are 18, and you are a resident of Peel, now is the time to get your shot.
The reality is that we couldn't wait any longer to make that vaccine available to every adult in Peel. Peel Region has been a hot spot for a very long time. In fact, we've been on fire.
So far in Peel Region, they've administered over 600,000 doses of COVID-19 vaccine. Their goal is to double that amount in just over a month.
As of today, 37% of Peel residents have received at least one dose. The goal is to reach 75% of adults by the end of May or early June.
It's simple math that in 4 to 5 weeks, if we manage to keep going at the capacity we've been going, we could hit that target.
But in order to hit that target, Peel needs to keep vaccine supply coming, something that has not been guaranteed by the province.
I'm urging the province to listen to the science table and commit to sending hotspots like Peel 50% of all the vaccine going forward.
As of right now, the provincial government has only committed to sending 50% of doses received to Peel for the next 2 weeks.
Now, there is one very important distinction for anybody who's hoping to book a vaccination starting tomorrow. If you do live in a hotspot area code or postal code, you have to book through the province's website. If you do not live in a hotspot postal code, you will go through the Peel Region website or call the Peel Region hotline. Reporting live, I'm Sean Lethong. Michelle, I'll send it back to you.
Thank you, Sean. Province-wide, more than 132,000 vaccinations were carried out on Tuesday. The total number of shots in arms is now approaching 5.6 million since the rollout got underway. And more than 381,000 people are now considered vaccinated after receiving both required doses.
And vaccine eligibility is also set to expand across Ontario tomorrow. CTV's Natalie Johnson is live with those details. Natalie.
Hi, Nathan. Well, province-wide, if you are 50 or older, have certain health conditions, or are a certain kind of essential worker, tomorrow is the day that you can start booking at a mass immunization clinic. In Toronto, another big block of appointments will become available once that eligibility opens at 8 a.m.
The stakes at Woodbine Racetrack were high today. A community going all in on the fight against COVID-19 at this pop-up clinic.
I've been waiting a long time.
I want to go back to the norm.
Nearly 7,500 doses of Pfizer available over 3 days to residents of select nearby postal codes.
We know that this is one of the hardest hit areas, and at one point we were one of the lowest vaccinated community.
As Toronto continues to tackle high-risk neighborhoods through mobile clinics, officials report that more than 23,000 people have registered for a shot at a Toronto mass vaccination site since eligibility opened Monday to people 18 and up in hotspots. The city clinics now 99% booked for the remainder of this week, with a relatively few number of spots still available up to June 6th.
We're seeing a considerable amount of variability and movement in the system, and that indicates that people are People are canceling, they're moving, they're changing their appointments. So I do encourage people that are eligible to continue to keep a close eye.
As of 8 a.m. tomorrow, eligibility to book an appointment at a mass vaccination site through the provincial portal expands to people aged 50 and up, people with high-risk health conditions, First Nations, Inuit, and Métis individuals, and Group 1 of people who cannot work from home. That group includes food manufacturing and distribution workers, people working in enforcement and inspection roles, and education staff and school workers, among others.
As those eligibility blocks or categories expand, and as we hear more about vaccine supply, we are then opening up more and more availability.
Toronto will open up a new block of 60,000 appointments tomorrow for the week of June 7th to 13th.
And some Toronto healthcare partners are now opening up their clinic appointments to more neighborhoods. Sunnybrook Hospital announcing today that it is now accepting bookings from people 18 and plus in all Toronto hotspots. Reporting live, I'm Natalie Johnson. Michelle, over to you.
Thank you, Natalie. Will Ontario follow suit? Alberta and Manitoba are going to start vaccinating young people between the ages of 12 and 15.
Health Canada approving the Pfizer vaccine for that age group today, becoming the first in the world to do so. CTV's Avis Favreau reports.
Children and teens 12 to 15 are now cleared to receive the Pfizer vaccine after Health Canada officials reviewed the company's data, reporting it was safe and that it worked in this younger age group.
It's the same vaccine, it's the same dose, and it's the same dosing regimen as is already authorized for adults. So that can happen at any point in time.
The approval is based on this clinical trial of some 2,200 adolescents in the U.S. last year.
Did it hurt?
Yeah.
A little bit, huh? Mm-hmm.
The study reported the vaccine was 100% effective, even higher than in adult studies. And there were 18 COVID infections among those not vaccinated, zero among those given the two doses. The most commonly reported side effects among children vaccinated were sore arms, chills, or fever, according to Health Canada.
It's a game changer. It's important to realize that while children are at dramatically lower risk overall of severe outcomes from COVID-19, not all children are. There are children that are at higher risk and that will suffer the consequences of COVID-19 more. So immunizing children is important.
Alberta quickly expanded its bookings.
By this coming Monday, every single Albertan over the age of 12 will be eligible to receive a COVID-19 vaccine.
And some doctors are pushing other provinces like hard-hit Ontario to do the same.
Let's just roll it in and do 12 plus. Give us the vaccine. There's lots coming. Let's get these hotspot areas vaccinated. So these families who live in multi-generational households where people are working can get their entire households vaccinated.
Other vaccine makers are testing their products on children, with Pfizer starting as early as 6 months of age. Results will be expected later this year. Avis Favreau, CTV News, Toronto.
A reminder, our online team is tracking every development with the vaccine rollout, from eligible ages to a comparison of provinces. You can find that key information at ctvnewstoronto.ca/vaccines.
Looking at the broader virus picture, Ontario is reporting more COVID-19 deaths than any day since mid-February, as the number of new cases remains under 3,000. 2,941 people have tested positive over the last day. That means the province has now seen nearly 480,000 cases in total. 44 more deaths are linked to the virus, putting that figure at 8,187. And more than 436,000 illnesses are considered resolved.
Here's a look at the regional breakdown with 924 new cases in Toronto, 565 in Peel Region. There are 254 new cases in York Region, 171 in Durham, and 149 in Hamilton. Halton Region is adding 114 cases, and 108 are in Niagara.
Out of self-isolation and back at Queen's Park, Doug Ford returning to the legislature today.
The premier facing some heated questioning over his government's handling of long-term care during this pandemic. CTV's Queen's Park Bureau Chief Colin DeMello is live with more. Colin.
And Michelle, the Ford government has been under fire over its handling of long-term care during this pandemic. Today, the premier said he takes responsibility.
After 2 weeks in isolation, Premier Doug Ford returned to Queen's Park and quickly shouldered the responsibility for long-term care.
The buck stops with me.
That's what it stops with. It stops with me, and I'll take responsibility.
The provincial government's response to COVID-19 was criticized by the commission tasked with investigating how nearly 4,000 residents lost their lives to the virus. The government was slow to respond, the commission says, and did not fix mistakes in real time. The premier, however, stopped short of an apology and instead said he'll focus on repairing the system.
I will take personal responsibility. We will make sure we fix it.
But the government has not committed to implementing all 85 recommendations outlined in the commission's report. One of the recommendations, to give personal support workers a permanent raise.
You have to look at the healthcare system as a complex system, and what we do in one area can affect another. And so we have to be very thoughtful about how we do this, understanding the ramifications of our actions.
The government's non-committal, critics say, means the premier was only offering a hollow gesture, amounting to taking responsibility without any accountability.
For him to simply flippantly say, I take responsibility, but then not act, then not show the people of Ontario that he's prepared to fire the minister who allowed all of this to happen.
Fullerton herself continues to deflect blame.
We look at, blaming that can go on. At some point, it's not productive.
Some say that demonstrates the government isn't serious.
If the minister is not going to take responsibility for what happened in long-term care, I don't have confidence, and I don't think the people of Ontario have confidence that she can truly fix long-term care.
Leading to additional calls for the minister's resignation. The Minister of Long-Term Care said today that there is plenty of blame to go around for what happened inside our province's nursing homes. In fact, the government today blamed Bob Rae, Mike Harris, Dalton McGuinty, Kathleen Wynne. They blamed the current federal Liberal government and society at large for what happened inside long-term care homes under this government's watch. Reporting live, I'm Colin DeMello. Now back to you.
Thank you, Colin. Meanwhile, for those living in long-term care, this is the moment they have waited for, the chance to hug their loved ones.
The act made possible by an easing of restrictions. CTV's Austin Delaney is live outside one home in Scarborough with more. Austin.
Well, COVID-19 has not been easy on long-term care residents. They've missed they've been in isolation. They've missed the human touch, the hugging, the touching. That has all changed.
Everybody needs a hug.
Diane Holmes admits she's been hugging her mom on the QT, but she's pleased the government now says it's okay again to have physical contact.
Actually, as of today, I'm allowed to hug you. Isn't that nice? So I'm going to give you a hug.
It has been a while.
Everybody needs a hug.
The physical restrictions in long-term care have been difficult for Olga Trone, who turns 100 in July.
As we all know, we all need physical contact, and it's been missing. The first 4 months of the lockdown, it was just devastating. Olga wasn't talking, she wasn't eating, she was practically mute.
Karen McGrindle also hugged her mom, a resident at Chester Village Retirement Home.
It's great. It brings tears to my eyes, really, because it's been a very, very difficult year.
Long-term care can now resume communal dining, indoor events and gatherings. But more importantly for McGrindle, a primary caregiver, and her 88-year-old mother, Trudy, it is the hugs.
She has dementia, she has Parkinson's. Human touch is, for all of the residents, really important. And I notice with her that if there's contact, she's just more engaged.
The province says 94% of long-term care residents are now fully vaccinated, and 84% of staff have received at least one dose.
Now what it'll mean is more families who are fully immunized and residents who are fully immunized will be able to have closer contact. They'll be able to sit in the dining room with the resident while they have a meal and help them like they used to. And certainly it's a big help to our staff to have the families there.
But Chester Village's CEO says the big change here is the touching.
For sure, that personal contact, that feeling of someone being with you in every sense, especially for our married couples, will make a big difference.
Of course, everyone participating must be immunized.
And Queen's Park says once the stay-at-home order is lifted, it will ease further restrictions. Reporting live, I'm Austin Delaney.
All right, thank you, Austin. Also tonight, avoiding the worst-case scenario so far in Ontario ICUs, how the province's healthcare system has managed to pull it off, and a warning about easing restrictions too soon.
Well, the cloud cover is going to move out. We got some peaks of sunshine today. Lindsay Morrison here with a look at the current conditions. Lindsay, we've been seeing a bit of rain here and there. Are we through with the wet weather?
Well, there's still a couple of sprinkles happening right now, Michelle, around places like Milton, as well as Mississauga and Oakville, also in the Muskoka region and around Peterborough, too. It's dry currently in the city of Toronto, and while we did enjoy those peaks of sun, the cloud cover was quite dominant. It's windy out there. Gusts are around 40 kilometers per hour with those winds coming out of the northwest. It's keeping communities outside of the GTA in the single digits at this hour. We're barely into the double digits around the Golden Horseshoe. It's cooler than normal. Overnight tonight, we're looking at a low of 4 degrees in Toronto. Outside of our area, there's potential for frost. I'll show you where coming up. For now, Nathan, over to you.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. One person is dead and at least four others are hurt following a major crash in Flamborough. It happened on Highway 6 between Edgewood Road and 8th Concession just before 1 this afternoon. One person died at the scene, while two others, including a woman in her 30s, were taken to hospital with life-threatening injuries. Two others were taken to hospital with serious injuries, but they will survive. The cause is still under investigation.
A construction worker has died following an accident at a work site downtown. The man was struck by a concrete bucket at a site on Power Street between Richmond and Adelaide. The Ministry of Labor is investigating.
And no injuries in this structural collapse in Etobicoke. It happened at a home under renovation on 13th Street, south of Lakeshore. One of the building's walls collapsed, creating concern the entire structure could come down. All those working on the project were able to get out.
Just ahead, another record high for the real estate market as sales surge across the GTA. But there are signs a change could be on the way.
On Monday, we told you about a string of break-and-enters in the city's West End. And now police are asking for your help to find a suspect. Investigators were called to four break-ins in the Little Portugal area over the weekend. Police believe this wasn't the first time. They say the same man was responsible for several other robberies where nearby businesses were targeted since mid-April. 41-year-old Wade Joshua Mayers is wanted on 26 separate charges, including break-and-enter commit and failure to comply with a release order.
Returning to our COVID coverage, it's a situation that would simply be devastating, a catastrophic scenario in hospitals.
Doctors having to pick and choose who gets life-saving care and who doesn't. For now, it appears that scenario has been avoided. CTV's Janice Golding reports.
It appears as though a crisis in Ontario's intensive care units may be averted.
Seems like the numbers are hopefully cresting.
Less than a month ago, a warning was issued, a health official saying if we reached 900 COVID-19 patients in our ICUs, doctors might be forced to activate a triage protocol, meaning the oldest and sickest patients might not be able to receive the highest level of care available. While we're close to the 900 number now, with 886 COVID-19 patients in ICU,
I think we've done a pretty good job of spreading patients out around the province to make use of all the critical care capacity that we've got, because you really want to use everything you have before you'd consider anything like triage.
Dr. Kevin Smith, president and CEO of the University Health Network, says doctors on the province's critical care command table
have literally pulled off a feat beyond imagination.
At times, meeting multiple times a day to determine which hospitals had capacity and where they could place patients if a region became overwhelmed.
They've just moved heaven and earth and literally over 2,000 patients to make sure that those super hot spots like Brampton, like Mississauga, like Scarborough, were able to remain functioning.
The critical care triage protocol was developed in January. If activated, patients expected to live 12 months or longer post-treatment were to be given more care.
But through the cancellation of elective surgeries and by transferring patients out of hotspots, the worst-case scenario has not come to pass. That being said, doctors say this is not a time to relax our protocols.
You know, we still have a lot of people in critical care, and we have to be super vigilant that we don't back off on the public health measures or getting people vaccinated, or they'll go right back up.
Janice Golding, CTV News.
And you can read more about this story on our website. Multi-platform writers Ashley Legasic and Catherine DeClercq are tracking the situation. You can find that coverage at ctvnewstoronto.ca.
There has been a third death in Canada from complications linked to the AstraZeneca vaccine. In New Brunswick, a person in their 60s died after developing a blood clot. Last night, Alberta announced the death of a woman in her 50s. And last month, a 54-year-old Quebec woman died. Health Canada says it stands by advice to take the first vaccine available, but it will soon look into whether people who got a first dose of AstraZeneca might get a different second dose.
A Toronto man who claims Ontario's vaccine rollout is discriminatory has lost his battle in court.
The challenge was brought forward by a 28-year-old living with multiple disabilities, advocating for himself and others. CTV's Raheem Ladani joins us in studio with more. Raheem.
Well, Michelle and Nathan, this was an interesting ruling because the court said it doesn't have jurisdiction, but clearly left the door open for an appeal. Now the applicant's lawyers are still calling on the Ford government to make it easier for everyone to get vaccinated.
As Ontario works to get needles into arms, not everyone believes there is equal access to the vaccine.
There are still perhaps 100,000 elderly people who have not been vaccinated, even though we're now vaccinating 30-year-olds. There are disabled people who are at home, maybe who can't use the internet.
Those concerns sparked a legal challenge, claiming the Ford government hasn't distributed vaccines fairly and asking them to admit responsibility. Today, Ontario's divisional court dismissed the case, stating it doesn't have the right to do that, but says there is nothing frivolous and vexatious about the issue of vaccine equity in the context of a global deadly pandemic. The application is dismissed because the applicant has not advanced these issues through available legal avenues, not because the underlying issues are without any merit.
The court made it clear that it was not accepting the provincial argument that the province has no responsibility for vaccine equity. So in that sense, I suppose a moral victory.
A spokesperson for the Attorney General reacted to the judgment, saying Ontario's position is that public health units are responsible for providing vaccinations and that the province does not approve or otherwise manage the design or implementation of PHU vaccination programs.
The province knew that in hotspot communities, there were going to be extraordinarily high death and hospitalization rates. It knew what to do.
Even without admitting fault, lawyers want the province to give public health units clear directions to make vaccines equitable.
We can't leave people behind. And I think that's what I hope the political pressure will continue to mount on the province to do the right thing, which they should have been doing all along.
As the fight to get everyone immunized continues.
And in an unprecedented move, the province asked the court not to let the lawyers who brought this case forward be paid, even by legal aid, saying the case was ill-advised. The court denied the request. Reporting live, I'm Raheem Ladani. Michelle, back to you.
Thank you, Raheem. A Toronto man has been charged after allegedly presenting a fraudulent document about his COVID-19 status after arriving on an international flight. The report came in early Saturday morning. Peel police say the 33-year-old suspect had just landed in Canada and handed a quarantine officer fake COVID-19 test results. He was charged with uttering a forged document and released to public health officials for further processing.
Ontario teachers unions are expressing concern after the province announced it's holding consultations on potentially making remote learning permanent.
When Minister Lecce says repeatedly that having schools open is critical for student development, a rare point of agreement between us, but then creates a plan for permanent remote learning, it is impossible to reconcile those positions or to trust his pronouncements.
The province is considering three plans, including one which would offer a fully independent online learning option for high school students. Unions say they're concerned about the effects of children not being in classrooms and the possibility of privatization in the education system. And Education Minister Stephen Lecce's office released a statement which reads in part, "We want children to be learning inside Ontario schools as we know how critical they are to mental health and well-being. Parents deserve a choice next September as we continue to face uncertainty as a consequence of this global pandemic. While the Liberals and teachers' unions want to remove that choice, our government will protect it for parents while also ensuring they have more time to make that decision."
Canada and the other G7 countries agreed today that proof of vaccination will be needed when international travel resumes on a wide scale. The group says there must be a coordinated approach and will work on a common set of principles. Ottawa has already said it plans to align its policy with international allies. The G7 nations also insist there must be a harmonized COVID-19 testing regimen in place when travel resumes.
A record number of home sales, but is the GTA's real estate market actually showing signs of cooling off?
It might be too early to tell, but those looking to buy or sell are watching closely. CTV's Saran Fanel reports.
This three-bedroom, three-bath house in Ajax was listed and sold last night.
We had 63 showings total. We received 6 offers last night, and we didn't wrap up until about, you know, we took offers at 6:30. We didn't finish until about 11:30 last night. It did sell over asking, $105,000 over asking.
When it comes to home sales in the greater Toronto area, the real estate market delivered a record high April with sales up 362% from the year before.
Certainly, as we move through the first few months of 2021, we are setting new monthly records in terms of home sales. And the same was true in April. We had the best April on record last month. But
Jason Mercer with the Toronto Regional Real Estate Board says the demand could be attributed to low interest rates. Despite home sales remaining high, Mercer says the market is seeing its first signs of cooling with a recent month-over-month dip.
In a normal year, you'd see sales trending upwards through March, April, and May. And what we saw this past April was sales were actually down relative to March. And
some realtors tell us they don't have younger clients because many are forced to rent longer than they like. Realtor Antonio Carvalho says some of his clients left Toronto entirely and packed up for the West Coast, in part due to Ontario's extended restrictions.
And a sense of almost a FOMO from looking at other places around the world that are a little bit more open than we are.
According to Treb, some reasons for the month-over-month decline in the GTA could be because of slowing population growth and the region may be exhausting its pool of potential buyers. Mercer says it's too early to call the one-month dip a trend, but a resurgence in population could bring demand back over the next year. Saran Fanel, CTV News.
Still ahead, a community creature growing at a Toronto beach. The colorful project spearheaded by a 7-year-old boy.
And coming up on Consumer Alert, when you buy a new or used car, you might be pitched extra products or services. But what happens if you buy an extended warranty and then your car is written off in an accident? Are you entitled to a refund? I'll have my report. That's just ahead.
Cover up those sensitive plants. If you're joining us from southwestern Ontario, there's a frost advisory in effect. In this part of the province, overnight lows could slip below freezing. In addition to that, we're expecting clear skies and calmer winds, which creates the perfect recipe for frost. Should stay a little bit milder here in Toronto with an overnight low of 4. Tomorrow, we're expecting a blend of sun and cloud, slightly warmer than it was today, but we remain below seasonal. We'll talk about whether or not there's a warm-up in store. CTV News will be back in 2 minutes.
If you're shopping for a new or used car, along with the purchase price, you may be asked to pay extra for things like extended warranty or gap insurance.
These added costs may be beneficial if you end up keeping a vehicle for a long time, but what happens if you don't? Pat Foran has our story tonight on Consumer Alert. Pat.
Nathan and Michelle, a Whitby woman bought an SUV and paid an extra $6,000 for an extended warranty and gap insurance. When someone smashed into her car and wrote it off, the gap insurance paid her some money, but the extended warranty gave her a very limited refund.
I feel really defeated.
Rebecca Ellis of Whitby bought a 2018 Mitsubishi Outlander just over a year ago. In January of this year, someone lost control and smashed into it as it was parked in her driveway.
When I purchased the vehicle, I bought a gap insurance and I bought an extended warranty outside the manufacturer warranty.
At the time of the accident, Ellis had an outstanding loan of $31,500. The insurance payout was just over $21,000, so she still owed more than $10,000. She thought the gap insurance would cover the difference.
So the gap insurance was explained to me that it would pay the remaining balance of whatever the primary insurance didn't cover.
Ellis paid just over $2,800 for gap insurance. When her case was reviewed, she was given almost $2,400. She also paid almost $3,400 for an extended warranty that had still not taken effect. The dealership where she bought it said there were no refunds. The warranty company Global refunded her $309.
I thought I was trying to do the right thing, and by purchasing all of this extra stuff from these companies to cover myself, and in the long run, it didn't help me at all.
CTV News reached out to the Gap Insurance Company, which agreed to review her case. A spokesperson for Trisura told us, "We have been in discussions with Ms. Ellis and have resolved her complaint to her satisfaction." They agreed to pay her almost $3,400 more. Ellis was relieved to get additional gap insurance funds, but feels she should have got a larger refund for the extended warranty she didn't use.
I wasn't sure I was going to get anything, so I'm going to use it to buy another car.
And if you're buying a vehicle, be careful if you're offered extra products. They can be expensive and you may not need them. You should also ask if there are refunds available if you decide to sell the car or it's written off in an accident. On your side, I'm Pat Foran.
If you have a consumer story idea, email us at alert@ctv.ca.
All right, to the forecast, things seem to gradually be getting better.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay, you've been, you know, giving us a bit of a preview. Tomorrow, the latter half of the week, is when things start to change a bit.
Yeah, we can expect skies to brighten up a little bit further as we continue through this week. Looking at some pockets of sunshine in some parts of the GTA might make for a nice sunset with that cloud cover mixing in. But for the most part today, the cloud was dominant. Tomorrow, things should improve a little bit further. Weather is brought to you by Trane for home comfort, cooling and clean air. It's hard to stop a train. In addition to it being cloudy and a little bit showery out there today too, it was also quite windy. These are the sustained winds coming out of the northwest, but gusting stronger than that. Here's another look at the satellite and radar. Still seeing a couple of lingering showers in the west end of the GTA. For the most part though, it is going to be a dry night. We dodged a low pressure system today that is going to soak parts of Quebec and the Maritimes through the night tonight and into tomorrow, but we can't get too comfortable. Yes, tomorrow looks mostly dry. Then another disturbance is going to sneak its way through overnight and into Friday morning. So we see the potential for some wet weather once again. First, I'm going to pause this around the morning hours tomorrow just to show you that clearing across southwestern Ontario. That's where we have the frost advisory. Nice looking daytime hours for us here in the GTA. Again, still some cloud mixing with the sun. Then the showers start to move in through the overnight hours. By Friday morning, we'll likely need that umbrella again here in the GTA, but it should clear out as the day goes on. Looks like that day might end up being a mostly cloudy one, but a little more sunshine on the way for this weekend. We climbed into the low double digits today. Overnight tonight, we were forecasting 4 degrees in Toronto. Tomorrow, we might make it to a high of about 14 degrees. Again, a little bit of sun is going to help with that. Here's a quick look at your 7-day forecast. Weekend, decent daytime highs of 11 degrees. That's still below seasonal. Mix of sun and cloud in the forecast, up around 13 through the early part of next week, but still cool for this time of year. That's your weather for now. Nathan, over to you.
All right. Thank you, Lindsay. Now to Toronto Together, where York University teaching students are helping younger kids spend time with their friends.
They have created a virtual hangout, which helps keep kids engaged even when they're apart.
The fact that students are able to interact with others in this safe space is critical, and it's, you know, it's been missing.
Okay, perfect.
The Virtual Hangout Club is a joint program between St. Dorothy Catholic School and Spreading Smiles, a nonprofit run by York U students who are teaching candidates. The weekly hangout includes games and activities, giving students a chance to interact with friends in different classes.
Well, it has definitely taught us a lot. It's a very rewarding experience for us so far. And honestly, the motivation that the kids, like the response we've seen from the kids and parents, has really motivated us to want to pursue this career in education. And we recognize that some portion of virtual school and like teaching will be in effect maybe in the future. So this will help us prepare and better equip us for that experience when it comes to it.
And those involved say the event has been such a success, students are requesting longer weekly sessions.
Also tonight, a new treatment for migraines, now approved. Why the drug is being called a potential game changer for those who suffer from debilitating symptoms. Roughly 3 million Canadians suffer from migraines, some with debilitating symptoms.
But a new medication has just been approved in Canada, this one coming in an auto-injectable form. Our health reporter Pauline Chan has more.
Natanya Mandel has suffered from migraines since she was 5 years old.
If it's a vestibular migraine, I can't do anything. I'm completely disabled. I can't walk, I can't go up and down stairs, I can't lie down, I can't sit up.
With her chronic migraines, there's pain, but also communication problems.
Trouble stringing a sentence together, I can't think of words, I mix words up.
She takes several medications, including one often used for epilepsy, but the most she can hope for is to blunt the symptoms of her chronic or vestibular migraine attacks.
Migraine affects approximately 15% of the population worldwide.
2% of the population has chronic or severe migraines, and women outnumber men 3-1. But a newly approved drug has raised hopes because it can prevent migraine attacks.
Ajovy is part of a new class, and I dare say it's a revolution for migraine prevention.
It's a monthly injection instead of daily pills. It also comes in a once every 3 months form. It targets a particular protein in some migraine sufferers.
For a subset of patients, not every patient, but maybe really life changers.
As with many new drugs, funding details must still be finalized, but Mandel is planning to discuss Ajovy with her doctor and with other migraine patients looking to prevent these debilitating attacks. Pauline Chan, CTV News.
A new study led by McMaster University is recommending relaxing food bans in schools. Research found little evidence that bans on food like peanuts and milk products worked to prevent issues for those with allergies. The study instead recommends training for school personnel on how to spot and treat allergic reactions. Health Canada estimates 6% of young children have food allergies.
She was expecting 7, but got 9. A woman from Mali's given birth to 5 girls and 4 boys. They were delivered by cesarean section in Morocco after the 25-year-old mother was sent there for special care. The newborns arrived 30 weeks premature and have been placed in incubators. But the health minister says everyone's doing well. It's believed to be the first time 9 surviving babies have been born at one time.
Ellen DeGeneres recently celebrated 3,000 episodes of her talk show. She says a lot has changed since she started the endeavor.
I had to prove that I could talk to people and interview people. And then when I started the show, they were like, you know, you can't make reference that you're gay. Don't bring it up. Don't even go in that area.
Speaking in an interview with James Corden, DeGeneres said she's the same person who launched the show nearly 20 years ago, but less naive. The comedian apologized to staff last year amid allegations of a toxic workplace.
And an era in late-night television is about to come to an end. Conan O'Brien's announced his self-titled show will finish its run in late June. The host has been in late night for nearly 30 years, including several years at NBC, before moving to TBS in 2010 for Conan. O'Brien is launching a new weekly variety series for HBO Max.
The lights of Broadway are one major step closer to flipping back on. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo has announced theaters will be able to reopen at full capacity starting September 14th. All productions have been dark since March of 2020, making this by far the longest closure in Broadway's history. Tickets for fall performances will go on sale this month. Industry representatives say health and safety protocols will be in place when the reopening happens, while warning that plans can still change.
Game of Thrones fans are getting their first glimpse at an upcoming prequel series that's now in production. House of the Dragon is based on George R.R. Martin's 2018 book, Fire and Blood. It's set 300 years before the events of Game of Thrones, with a focus on the story of House Targaryen. The final episode of Game of Thrones aired in 2019. House of the Dragon will stream on Crave in Canada starting next year. CTV and Crave are divisions of Bell Media.
Stars Tonight is brought to you by Lastman's Bad Boy. Who's better? Nobody.
This message is simple. If you are 18 and you are a resident of Peel, now is the time to get your shot.
Updating our top stories, all Peel residents age 18 and older will be able to book their COVID-19 vaccine appointment starting tomorrow. The news comes as Amazon facilities in Brampton offer shots for their workers.
While children are at dramatically lower risk overall of severe outcomes from COVID-19, not all children are. There are children that are at higher risk and that will suffer the consequences of COVID-19 more. So immunizing children is important.
Canada is the first country to approve a COVID-19 vaccine for kids and teens aged 12 to 15. They will receive the Pfizer shot as the vaccine rollout grows.
The buck stops with me. That's what it stops with. It stops with me, and I'll take responsibility.
Premier Doug Ford faced criticism over the province's report on long-term care homes during his first trip back to Queen's Park in 2 weeks. Ford had been in isolation after coming in contact with a staffer who tested positive for COVID-19.
Don't forget to follow us on social media and keep up to date day and night through our website, ctvnewstoronto.ca. And if you ever have a news tip, photos or video of breaking news, let us know. People in Peel Region are counting down until 8 a.m. tomorrow.
That's when vaccine eligibility expands to everyone 18 and over. And that's the focus of a discussion on CP24 tonight. We're joined by co-anchors Nick Dixon and Reshmi Nair. Nick, you're going to be speaking with the mayors tonight.
That's right, Nathan. We're reassembling the Peel panel here on CP24 tonight. Mayors Crombie and Brown, along with Dr. Lawrence Lowe, recapping one of the top stories you just mentioned, the fact that Peel residents, if you're 18 and over, as of tomorrow morning, you are eligible to book a vaccine appointment. But a lot of questions here about how this is going to work out and what this means in terms of the fact that Peel is a hotspot. They didn't quite get full designation for a hotspot, but nevertheless, they're getting more vaccinations, at least to book them.
And Reshmi, earlier in the newscast, we heard Raheem's story about the constitutional challenge into vaccine equity. You're going to be getting reaction from the legal team behind it.
Yes, Michelle, the legal team's joining us on CP24 tonight to talk about this case being dismissed, but what the judge also mentioned in this ruling, in that there is some merit to the argument. Maybe they took it to the wrong court. We'll hear a reaction to that case being dismissed coming up on CP24 tonight.
Reshmi, Nick, thank you.
Thanks.
And CP24 tonight airs immediately following this newscast on CP24 from 7 to 9.
On the markets, the Canadian dollar gained to close at 81.49 U.S. American benchmark oil slid 6 cents a barrel to close at 65.63. And the TSX Composite Index gained 122 points to close at 19,310.
Fitness company Peloton is best known for its stationary bikes, but it's now recalling two of its treadmills over safety concerns. The company today advised all owners of the Tread or Tread Plus to immediately stop using the equipment. They can contact the company to get a refund. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission had already issued a warning about the Tread Plus following the death of a child and reports of dozens of other injuries.
General Motors Canada says it will restart production at the Oshawa assembly plant ahead of schedule. The automaker says truck production will now begin in the fourth quarter of this year, moving up the target date from January 2022. GM reached a deal to invest $1.3 billion and reopen the plant after it was shut down in 2019. The company also reported stronger than expected profit growth in the first quarter, despite the ongoing shortage of microchips.
The Blue Jays will have a new home away from home beginning in June. The team will start playing games at Buffalo's Allen Field on June 1st. The park is home to the Blue Jays' AAA affiliate and served as the team's home field during last year's shortened season. The Jays are currently playing home games at their spring training facility in Dunedin, Florida.
After the break, a snake on the loose and getting longer by the day, but there don't seem to be any complaints as a young boy's project catches on.
Tonight, the province is making plans as Canada widens the vaccine campaign to kids.
I have grandchildren that could use it.
A landmark decision to approve Pfizer doses for children 12 and up. That's later on CTV National News.
Finally tonight, the active community slithering along a stretch of Kew Beach.
A boy's colorful idea to bring his neighbors together. CTV's Scott Lightfoot reports.
On a gray day along Kew Beach, it is a colorful line in the sand.
It's a snake made out of rocks.
Okay, it's a snake made out of rocks in the sand. Lucas Walker should know he started it, an idea born from boredom.
He's just been stuck in the house, right? And with the pandemic and everything going on, he came up with an idea where he could get his mom and his brother and some of his friends involved.
The rock snake started last week with just 4 rocks.
You paint them and then you add them.
And a sign.
I'm just a rock.
Telling people how they could participate.
Grab a rock, paint it, and add it. And I also told them to smile when I also told them to smile.
And since then, the rocks and the smiles haven't stopped. There are dozens and dozens of creatively designed rocks done by artists of all ages.
I feel it's, like, awesome.
And even on a rainy afternoon, the rock snake stops those walking by. Some look, some take photos. The rock snake has its own Instagram account. Some add their own creations. And just about everyone smiles.
People over there are bringing joy to them.
Yeah, everyone likes to see art. Everyone likes to smile.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think it's going to do, it's good for the community here.
Lucas says he hopes the snake will keep growing.
I like all of them. I like a bunch of them.
One rock, one smile at a time. Scott Lightfoot, CTV News.
All right, rock on.
Mm-hmm. I got a pile of rocks at home. Mike, is it? I got to bring them down there. You'd still want to dress for the beach right now.
Definitely, because there's a little bit of a breeze off of the water as well. Winds today are coming out of the northwest, and we're starting to see some clearing happening around the GTA. Still a couple of ominous-looking clouds, but it's dry in most areas. One more look at that frost advisory for southwestern Ontario. It won't get quite as cold overnight tonight for us here in Toronto, and we're hoping for a little more in the way of sun into the day tomorrow, too, the afternoon for sure. Then here's your 7-day forecast. I do think that Friday is going to be mostly cloudy, with a few showers. We really don't have a dramatic warm-up to look forward to, but generally speaking, brighter skies. That's your weather. Nathan and Michelle, over to you.
Thank you, Lindsay, and be sure to join Zoraida Allman later tonight for CTV News at 11:30.
You can also stay up to date by going to our website. And a reminder, CP24 Tonight with Rashmi Nair and Nick Dixon begins momentarily on CP24.
For Lindsay and all of us here at CTV News, have a good night.
Good night.